all left behind. Take all of our burdens to the cross. Thank you, Father. We bless you for this day and all that's therein. Whatever the trials may be, the tribulations, whatever the tests of this hour may be, Father, we will trust you and wait upon you diligently. We will lay our hearts open that you may surgically remove every vile, evil, corrupt, every depraved, every insensitive, wicked thing that destroys our sensitivity to the love of our Father. And in doing that, we will love one another, Father, and do righteously by all men. It's a corrupt generation, Father, because the heart of man is so fully set to do evil, because there is no judgment in the land, Father. So their hearts are set to do evil, to speak evil, to respond evilly. Father, I pray, you touch your people, wherever they are, your way. Give them a great strength today, whatever hour it is, whatever day in any part of the world, touch and anoint. Let your mighty power and your strength may satisfy the hungering soul, that your word is truth, and the power of your word is the law that it is based upon. And your law shall never fail, the laws of love and righteousness, to do right, to love one another, to be brotherly kind to one another. The laws will never fail, Father. For the kingdom they shall be, Father. We ask your anointing rest upon the house tonight. Touch us all. Give strength unto me, Father, that the words that are proclaimed are by the direction of the Spirit and not some man's wisdom or intellect. There may be a strength in the house. We ask all things in Messiah's wonderful name, Yahshua, the hope of Israel. Bless us today. Touch Sister Dot. Touch Sister Dean's back, Father, I pray. And everyone that needs a touch today, you sent forth your word in the body of Messiah, and it healed them too, Father. I sent forth your word to heal of every kind of ailment, disease, sickness. Hear, whether they hear it over the internet or the broadcast. Heal your people. We ask it in Messiah's wonderful name. We believe it's done by faith. For we pray by faith. Your sure mighty name, we bless you forevermore. We thank you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Yahweh, we bless you. You may be seated. We bless him today and we thank him. We worship him. We certainly do want to exalt him. For his name is the only name given in the earth whereby any man can be delivered from the yokes, the bondage, and the power of sin. Only in that authority. Man has done things to obscure that, yet Yahweh in this latter hour, he will reveal the profoundness of his truth, and that the eyes of man may be enlightened. We will not walk in darkness. Now, this is a generation that is consumed by darkness. Well, what is darkness, Pastor Roberts? It is a mindset and a heart that is void of the light of Almighty Yahweh. That a man's heart is not inspired by truth. What is truth? Well, it makes a man free. That is what truth is. When a man actually deals with the realities of truth, whom he is, what his purpose is, then he can be free from all hindrance that hinders him from moving on into perfection. So when a man's mind is void of light, that's the knowledge, the revelation of the purpose of Messiah, the works that were done were perfect works, ordained of the Father. For in that body was the mighty power of Almighty Yahweh, the one that created all things. When a man is void of that, he has no sense, or he is not possessed, or he does not possess the sensitivity to the things of Yahweh. And so the mindset today is geared toward the world totally. It loves the world. It desires the things of the world. It operates in a worldly fashion and not in a spiritual fashion. Because a spiritual mind, which Messiah possessed, it judges all things. And the natural, biological man cannot even discern that that is a spiritual mind that is operating within. Because the natural man cannot discern the things of the Spirit. He doesn't understand the laws of the Spirit. But that is why what we call the assembly today is walking in such darkness and sin. Because they do not understand the laws of the Spirit. Joel said, I am carnal soul unto death. And everything that we do in the natural fleshly realm, it brings death. He said, but the law is spiritual. It is a spiritual thing that brings life into a man's soul. And when a man is void or devoid of that light, then there is a darkness that consumes him. He is ruled by powers of darkness, spirits of corruption and depravity. He has no mind that is sensitive nor care for the things of Yahweh, regardless to who the man or the woman is. It is one that is consumed with flesh, and the carrying of flesh has nothing to do with the spiritual laws of Yahweh. For he cannot discern them. He doesn't know them. And he has no appetite to understand those things. But that's the mindset today. There is not a mindset or desire to know those spiritual laws that bring about a perfection in the lives of men. Perfect willingness, perfect obedience, perfect loyalness unto Yahweh. We're only loyal to our flesh and those things that are fleshly, that we can touch and see and sense with our own natural physical mind. And that is one of the most destructive things that man has to wrestle with today. It is not as much as Shaitan, the devil, as with his own natural mind. That's an enemy against the laws of Yahweh. And when a man cannot rely upon the principles of truth, then what does he rely upon? The principles of death, destruction. And what he relies upon that is because his mind is depraved. He has a depraved mind. He can't sense the things of Yahweh. He cannot operate in those spiritual realms whereby he can denounce the hidden things of darkness. He can cast down every imagination and thought and that exalt itself against Yahweh. You can't do that walking carnally or naturally. For the natural man or the natural state of man is total enmity against Yahweh. The law of the Spirit, they are spiritually discerned. And a man must have a discernment to know, and you will know when a man has a discernment because there's a spirit of judgment. And he begins with the things that flow from his own heart because they are the things that makes an issue. The issues of life, they flow from a man's heart. It is not the other brother's heart, it is your own heart whereby issues corrupt you. And those issues will corrupt you. Whereby you are removed away from the principles, the statutes, the judgments, the laws of Almighty Yahweh that keep us ever present before Him. We walk very lucid today. We walk by our own determination, our own revelation. We should walk as one. And the mind of Messiah did not walk diametrically opposed unto the Father. Nor was the mind of the Spirit. The witness of their truth was the Word. And they did and obeyed what the Word of Yahweh commanded. They did not denounce the Torah, the Tanakh, the laws of Yahweh, the prophets, Moshe, David.
They did not do that. But they held fast to those principles and those laws that it may impart into us the power of Almighty Yahweh that we can resist all sin and walk free from sin. Somewhere, we as a people, collectively and individually, we have lost that. And you cannot tell me that your physical body doesn't appreciate the foot. I know I do. As I saw a man yesterday, Brother Jermaine and I went to purchase metal for the trailer. I looked at the man. He was missing all of his fingers except this one and that one. And I looked at my hand and I was very grateful unto Yahweh that I have a hand and my fingers are intact. I'm very grateful. I was very thankful. Those subtle things that we take them for granted. Bread today and water. We take that for granted. The hearts are not enthusiastically in its praise and worship to Yahweh. They're you that sit here like dead fools, if I must use that expression. There's no expression of gladness and thankfulness. Yet I watched the little child come, and some of y'all, that's the only time you show an expression. He doesn't know what he's doing, and you don't even know what you're doing. But yet those are the things that excite your hearts. Those are the things that bring about some gleeing moment of expression, of joyfulness. How sad you are. How pitiful you are. What brings that about to me is the word of Yahweh to hear it. To know what His truth says. To know I'm a son of Yahweh, I'm delivered. You see what these little children do, they do that in the world too. That's not the strength of His anointing. It shows you how little anointing we have and what we possess. Because the minds are so corrupt, they're so filled with darkness, it cannot perceive nor does it understand the power of light. You show the little shallow things of insignificant. It costs the heart to relish those things. No. I will rejoice in Him. And again, I will rejoice. I will rejoice in Him always. Regardless of the trial, the tribulation, the circumstance. I will do that. I will be exceedingly glad. Not just glad, but I will be exceedingly glad for what He has done today. For my life, to give me strength and peace. We can get more reaction on a basketball court than in the house of Yahweh. Something is wrong with your spirit. But you can get more reaction out of folly, frivolity, and jocularity than the things of Yahweh. Something is missing from your inward parts. You need a heart surgeon. And that sin needs to be surgically removed from you. I don't care what you've gone through, that makes no difference at all. Whereby there's a hardness in your spirit, whereby there's never an expression unto Yahweh, you need to begin to search your heart and the inward parts and see what you are missing. And that's the way this generation is. And of course, it despises men that will confront the issues of your own heart. So there's not much love for them. There's not much camaraderie with them. Now, a man that will give them some kind of hope in their flesh, then they like men like that. But when that shows them the corruption of flesh and its whole purpose is to be destroyed, because all flesh is as grass, it is going to be consumed. The skin worms are going to consume it. That's why Yahweh allows it to go to the grave. And the skin worms to eat it up. It shows you the purpose of it. And the skin worms shall consume the flesh of man. Thank Yahweh for that. Because flesh, its ability, is only, there's only one thing in flesh. And that is a mindset of corruption and depravity. And that's what all flesh does. It corrupts every single thing. It corrupts everything that it touches. It can be very pure, but once flesh touches it, it's corrupt. You cannot sense the light or the beauty. You cannot sense the essence or the things that shine forth from those things once flesh touches it. It touches scriptures, and what it does, complicate, confuse, has to have something to satisfy me and my doctrine and my ways. It cannot be in this hour. There's only one faith. There's only one baptism. And there's only one your way. There's only one mind, and Messiah exemplified that mind of the Father in this body of clay. And we must have that very same mind, or you're not going into the kingdom. And that's just it. And he is not going to compel. He is not compelling men to do nothing. If we be willing and obedient, then we will eat the good of the land. Sacrifices and burnt offerings, he doesn't take delight in that. That's a command. He wants you to be willing and obedient to do what he tells you to do. And once a man is willing and obedient, he will begin to go forth and bring forth the excellency of the fruit of Almighty Yahweh. What we bring forth is the excellence of flesh. Our murmuring, our complaining, our crying. That's all we do. It shows you the corruption of your own heart. It doesn't show you the Spirit of Yahweh. For the Spirit of Yahweh rejoices. It's meek, it's kind, it's loving, it's temperance there. It's long-suffering there. It sure doesn't bring forth that. We as a people, we must begin to walk in His anointing. Not in the flesh. We must walk in the anointing. Well, how do you know you're walking in some anointing? Because it will break every power of hell. It is the anointing of Yahweh that breaks every yoke. It breaks the yoke of your flesh. It breaks the yoke of your will. It breaks the yoke of your desire. It is the anointing that breaks it. And you will know you're walking in the anointing when you are broken, when your flesh is broken, to submit to the laws and the commands of Yahweh. We don't want to do that. We don't want to do those things. And so we are inspired by things that are worthless. Worthless things. That's why they can fill the somber or the Sunday's newspaper with trivial, foolish little trinkets. We actually think we're getting something. We are so consumed with that, we want to see that or we reverence that more than anything. The land is filled with frivolity and foolishness. I don't care where you go, it's filled with it. And the only way a man is going to live is by the power, the Spirit, and the light of Almighty Yahweh. And Messiah must be preeminent in a man's soul. He must believe that he is the hope of the Father. That he is the Yahshak. He is the Savior of man. He must believe that. And if we don't believe that, then woe unto us. And when a man believes that, he sells out everything. He searched for the richness of that pearl. And that is what we ought to be searching for. The richness. The fullness of the pearl of life. Because only in Him are we going to find it. The world is going to seduce you and destroy you. That's what it's going to do. I want to read from Scripture. I want to read from Revelation chapter 16. I want to begin reading at verse 8. And as Yokohana began to see the great outpouring of the wrath of Yahweh upon a people that were very corrupt, disingenuous, they had no sincere desire for His government or His rule. That that's the heart of this generation. I use that expression singularly because that is the heart of this generation. It is one that has disdain for any kind of rule. Children today are more rebellious than they ever been upon the face of the earth. Their hearts are hardened. They disregard parents, laws. They have no honor for anything that is pure, right, for instructions. They will instruct the instructor. They will not allow anyone to instruct them. And that's the mindset of this generation. It says to Yahweh, I will not abide under your government. Yahweh says, I will send you a government as corrupt as you. This nation is corrupt. They talk about Mr. Bush being a part of the Illuminatis, but this nation is a part of every kind of pagan desire there is. Every kind of corrupt religious practice, they practice it. And so they vote in power as Yahweh raise up these men, that they will show forth the filth, sin, and the corruption of the people. He is giving them their very heart's desire. And so he's raising up men that are corrupt. Men of the Illuminati, Club of Rome, Bilderbergers, and every kind of extreme pagan identity there is. Why? For America is full of pagan identities. She's full of corruption. She's a nation that is consumed with darkness. There's no light in this nation. There's not any light in the people of Yahweh, because if there was light, then men would see our light and they would inquire of the one that you serve and the one that you know. Messiah said, let your light so shine in the world that men may glorify or honor me. They may inquire of whom is the one that you serve. So they don't inquire that today. He always given this nation over unto darkness and paganism. And so he's given us leaders, local level, national level, that are pagan men. Look at McSweeney there in New Jersey. A man that had a wife with one child. He divorced that one, got another one, had another child. And now he wants to confess to the nations that he is a gay American. He is a vile serpent of hell. Birth. To bring about a birth in the darkness of the hearts of those that reject the laws and the commandments of Almighty Yahweh. So that's what Yahweh has done. As he raised up Pharaoh. And in the midst of all that darkness in Egypt, when darkness overtook the land, there was light only in the homes of the children of Israel. And yet the man's heart still, Yahweh hardened his heart not to let the people go. Why? Because there was sin there. He said, you can go, but you can't take your cattle. You can't do this. You can't do that. And Moshe says, nay, it can't be that way. It cannot be done that way. For we must sacrifice unto our King, our Father, our Elohim. So we must take what is ours. And the scripture says that Yahweh hardened the man's heart even harder. After all of that darkness. And when we see this darkness, our hearts are hardened even harder. There's no temperance or balance. We become very arrogant, very stubborn in our ways. Because the heart is void of the light. The strength of light is a beautiful thing. Even in your most terrifying moments of darkness, when light arises, it brings about a soothing manifestation to the heart of one. Even in the natural realm, it does that. Darkness of Yahweh is one that is so deep in darkness. So dark that even the black hole cannot destroy it. And a man's mind is so dark that he is not touched by the things of Yahweh. Now that's his generation. And that's why Yahweh has given us kings and rulers as such that are corrupt, vile, and evil. We better have and know the mighty King. And he better rule in his kingdom. And we better be walking in the kingdom by the Spirit of Yahweh, in the kingdom of Yahweh. For the kingdom of Yahweh has come. We better dwell and live in that kingdom. For nothing woe unto us. Scripture tells us in Revelation. Chapter 16, verse 8. Yokohana saw this magnitude, this great manifestation. He said, and I saw this fourth Melech. He poured out a vial upon the sun. And power was given unto him to scorch men with fire. that men would burn or be consumed with the fire. And men today, you hear me, they are being consumed with the fire of their lust. Their lust is consuming them away. They're burning in their lust today. Men burning and lusting after men. Women burning and lusting after women. They're lusting for everything that is corrupt, vile. And so we can sense the burning of the flesh today. Men are burning with lust that is uncontrollable. They can't even control their lust and their sin. And so he said that there shall be a metaphor of what great things shall come forth in the land today. They're not satisfied. Hell and the grave are never filled. They're never full, saints. Neither is the heart of man ever satisfied. I don't care what you do. When you have a man who has a corrupt heart, not the mind of Messiah, he's never satisfied with nothing. I don't care what he has. He's a corrupt man. His intentions are corrupt. He's a selfish, wicked man. She's a selfish, wicked thing. The heart can never be satisfied. Believe me, you're not going to satisfy the heart. You can never. That's why we need the mind. Let this mind, the Messiah, that same mind, we need to have that in us, my friends. He said, and men were scorched with great heat. It overtook them. They were scorched. And these are the things that came out of their hearts because they were there. First of all, they blasphemed the name of Yahweh. They began to blaspheme him and to curse the one that created them. They began to scream out of their lungs, accusing words against the mighty Creator. So they didn't know his name. And they blasphemed. And men in their sin, they will blaspheme. They will speak of Yahweh as being one evil. Why are you doing this to me? I'm worth more than that. You're worth nothing. Your own flesh is grass. If your worth is based upon some trickers of this land, you are a fool. You have no light of the Spirit. He said they began, first of all, to blaspheme the name of the Father. And that's what happened. When we began to burn in our lust, we began to speak against the laws. We began to say, it's all right to do that. I don't see where I'm wrong. They began to blaspheme the name of Yahweh, which had power over the plagues. And then they repented not to give him honor or to say, I know that it is you. They did not even repent. No repentance in this generation. There's no deep remorsefulness for their sins, for their corruption. Yahweh allowed the burning of their lust to consume them with fire. The fire of hell shall they lift up their eyes. For they be consumed with their own lust. Men burning in their flesh. One after another. Why? Because when they knew of this mighty one, by the name of Yahweh, they did not honor him as being Yahweh. They did not exalt him. There was no praise in their mouths. They did not open their hearts unto him to worship him. And so what he did, he gave them over to a reprobate, a spirit that is corrupt, spirit that is vile, whereby there is no praise in their hearts. I say to some of you all sitting here, something is wrong in your hearts when there's never a muster from your heart to bless Yahweh. Something is wrong. You haven't been born again. And I'm not particularly concerned whether you like me or not. It doesn't make any difference. Because your love certainly has been a great strength. So your dislike will not be an impediment. So it makes no difference at all. Period. He said, and I saw in verse 10 the fifth angel, the fifth malach, pour out of his vial. First of all, he poured it out upon the seat of the beast. He poured out the indignation of Yahweh upon the governing power, the authority, and the rule of this beastly kingdom. For this kingdom is a beastly kingdom. It has no emotion. A cow, a heifer cannot express emotions to a bull. Nor can a rat express emotions to another rat. And so he saw this vial, this indignation of Yahweh, poured upon the seat of their government, their beastly government. Your government is all about your beastly flesh. Is it about the bestiality of your own flesh? What you want for your flesh? What you desire for your flesh? That's a beastly state. The beasts of the field do what they are commanded to do, what they were raised to do, eat grass. And yet Yahweh has done something in man. He breathed in him, and man became a living soul. That he would acknowledge him as creator, and worship him, and exalt him, and that his name would be esteemed above everything. That's what he did. And so he poured out the vial upon this beastly kingdom, governed by your beastly laws, your beastly intuitions, your beastly desires. He poured out a vial upon it. And that's the beastly kingdom that you are dealing with in this hour. Of course, I know what Scripture is talking about. This beastly world kingdom. He brings this thing down to you individually. He deals with us like a father. Now, what father doesn't deal with each individual child? It doesn't deal with a father. A true father will not deal with all the children as one. It will deal with each individual child. A father will say, I love you, Stacy. I love you, Sean. I love you, Red. I love you, David. I love you, I'm the prophet. That's what a father does. Now, beasts of the field just produce them all and just let them roam. And that's this beastly nature today. This beastly kingdom. He's poured out his vial upon the beast kingdom. The beastly kingdom of your heart and the beast nature of your heart. He said he poured out his vial upon the beast. And the kingdom was not just had darkness, but it was full of darkness. Now what is the heart of man full today? It's full of adultery, lies, and schisms, backbitings. Sin, you know how to concur with me. That's all right. I will preach till I die. And the kingdom was full of darkness, he said. And the kingdom of man is full of darkness. Lies and corruption. Depravity. Ichabod written. Why? Because Yahweh doesn't dwell. He doesn't deal with that one anymore. The only way he's going to deal with the house is by the power. And his word is exalted. His word is as his name. And as he is exalted, his word is exalted. He's going to deal with us by his word, by the foolishness of preaching. He's going to show you your sins. He's going to show you the corrupt things in your heart. There's one thing I saw about all those brothers gathered there in the name. They know the name well. They have a great understanding of that. But they're void of the power of his holiness and the power of his truth. Man don't understand that. That's why they walk in darkness and they grow up like beasts in darkness. They fight about little things and yet they don't deal with the issue that destroys the power of the word of Yahweh. And that is the corrupt nature and the beastly nature of their hearts. They don't want to deal with that. They don't want to deal with the sin factor. They don't want to confront those things. We don't want to confront those things today. You go into the kingdom of darkness. Unless you confront them, you must confront them. And my prayer is still, Yahweh raise up a man of great anointing. And when he speaks, I don't care what the man looks like. I will know him. I will receive him. And I will not reject the brother. It won't be a woman. It will be a man. And he will be a man indeed. How do you know? Because he will exemplify the anointing of the power of Yahweh, and the breath and the spirit of Yahweh will be alive and vivid in that man. And I will know it. I will know it. I just want to take that in this hour. Nothing any less. He said, and when he poured out this vial upon this government. See, when Yahweh began to deal with the government of your heart, the darkness began to ensue. Unless a man repent. And most men don't repent. They have no deep sorrowfulness of their sins so that they will not do that again. That's just like a man or a woman caught in the act of adultery when Messiah said to the woman, go and sin no more. Don't do that act again. Your sins are forgiven. Now don't go that way and be a partaker of that thing again. When a man is caught in the act of such things or that thing, and then there's a sorrowfulness because he's caught, and then he goes again and do that, then there was no repentance at all. We ought not to be repent and to be repented of the same thing again. It is only the holiness or the sorrowfulness of what things we have contributed unto Yahweh that calls our hearts to be moved with deep repentance, that we repent, that we don't have to repent again. It is the holiness. I know what it says in the King James, but it's the pure holiness of Yahweh that brings repentance. It needs not to be repented of again. You don't have to repent it of those things again. So there's not much repentance today. We blaspheme Yahweh, just like they did. Why? Because we are consumed with our lust. We've been burned with our lust. We're burning within. We're burning within our own hearts and our own flesh. We're burning with lust and lust and lust. And that ought not to be. That ought not to be, period. In the house of the gathering of the people of Yahweh. Now look at what they did now. He said he poured out the vial upon the seat of the beast of their government. And this world power is a beastly government. Every last one of those kingdoms, the Medo-Persian, the Persian, the Babylonian, and this kingdom that Daniel saw rising up, they all have to deal with beastly powers and beastly spirits. And this nation and this kingdom is of a beastly nature. He says, and they were filled with darkness. The kingdom was full of darkness. That means there was no room for light. There was no room for light. If something is full, was not Messiah full of the Spirit of Yahweh? And the kingdom was full of darkness. It was void of the truth of Yahweh. It had no sense of the light or the direction that light will lead you. And light always leads you in a direction. It always. I don't care where you are. It can be dark here. If you see a light, it will lead you in that direction. If you see a light there, it will lead you in that direction. You can come outside with no moon during the new moon phase. And if there are no lights on out here, if you see a star, it will lead you. That little light will lead you. That little bit of light can lead you in the midst of darkness. What Scripture says here was full of darkness. There's no room for light. Just like it was in the house in Goshen and Egypt when Pharaoh withstood the man of Yahweh. The whole land was full of darkness. And the only light was in the house of the Israelites. No one else had light. And they sat there. The Scripture said they couldn't move and they couldn't do nothing. And that's what darkness does. You can't move. You can't move in the Spirit. You can't move in the laws of Yahweh. You can't move on to perfection. Why? Because it's full of darkness. Darkness is there. And look at this little evil thing that they began to do now. The thing that they took vengeance against. And they gnawed their tongues for pain. They began to chew on their tongue. That's an evil little thing. Ain't nothing like the tongue. Nothing like your tongues, brothers and sisters. Can't be tamed. It can only be ruled and governed. It has to be ruled with the rod, by the fierce power of Yahweh. Because it says anything. It does everything. And so instead of them repenting, they began to gnaw. You understand what gnawing is? They began to chew on their tongues. They began to gnaw on their tongue for the pain. And it's one thing about a wholesome tongue. The Scriptures say a wholesome tongue is a tree of life. When a man has a wholesome tongue, the words that he speaks, it is the tree of life. Is not Messiah the tree of life? You will know that that tree is in you. He is the tree of life. And a wholesome tongue, a tongue that is full and light with light by the power of Yahweh. It is a tree of life. It brings forth and exalts the purity of Yahweh. It speaks of the things that are rich. The knowledge of truth. And cause the heart to rejoice. That's a wholesome tongue. But perverseness therein, where the tongue is perverse, it is a breach. It is a breach in the spirit. It caused the spirit to divide. We separate from the spirit of Yahweh and the laws of the spirit. It causes a breach, and that's what a breach is. It causes a deep divide. It divides. Divides homes, brothers and sisters. Divide you from Yahweh. That's what it did. And that's what their tongue had done, and it caused a breach. And that's why they began to chew on it. They began to gnaw at their tongue. Because there was a breach between them and the Father. And there's a breach between this beastly government and Almighty Yahweh. There's a breach there. And what a breach does, there's a little crack at first. And then it began, the pressure began to press on it. And then it began to crack even more. And all of a sudden you got a flood. And that's what's going to happen. After these vials are poured out, you will begin to see the flood upon the earth. Death. And that's the truth, saint. So we better get in Messiah that we may have light in the midst of this darkness. We better get light in our hearts. And there's only one way you're going to get light in your heart. And that's you have a singleness of eye. You can't have no purpose that is duplicity. You must have a single purpose. That's the only way you're going to get light in your soul. No other way. And why would they gnaw on their tongue? Because the scripture tells us that death and life is in the power of the tongue. And so there was death in their tongues. There's no life. Life and death and the power of the tongue. And because they had death in the tongue, they began to gnaw and they began to chew on their tongue. And that's what man is doing today. He chews on his tongue because he speaks and he talks without any control of his spirit. Nothing governs him. Folks say, I speak my mind. Your mind doesn't mean a nickel. What the rat's poo-poo. It's not even worth that. It is only one mind that has any credibility, and that is the mind of your way. Your mind is full of strife, sedition, and lies, corruption, sin, putrefying ways, greedy, lustful, jealousy. So your mind doesn't mean a nickel's worth of hog's poop. It's only that mind. That's why he said, let this mind. You need that mind. You don't need your mind. Your mind has got you in the trouble you're in, caused you to sin and reject the laws. You see, that's what our minds have done. Your mind is superior than the next one's mind, and you have nothing at all. As I was lying in bed last night, as Yahweh talks to my heart, as scriptures come to my mind, I see why there's an appointment for every man wants to die. It's either that he is going to resurrect us, or he isn't. It is either that Messiah was quickened by the Spirit, by the Father, or he wasn't. And if this stuff would live like Methuselah, 969 years, it would just corrupt itself even the more. Look at what corruption you have at your young, tender age, at 16, at 20, 25, 49, 60. Look at your corruption. And so it must. After the flood, he brought it down to 120 years. Because of this wickedness of man. I believe he made us to live. And because of this thing, this tongue, life and death is in the power of it. You bring death, you speak death. You speak death upon yourself. That's what your tongue does. It speaks death. You think you're speaking life, my friend. But it's speaking death. Cancerous diseases and all kinds of diseases. He told us not to learn the way of the heathens. Now don't talk with your froward mouths and think you can think what you want to. That's a froward mouth. That's a fool when a man speaks that way. And so Yahweh wants us, and he wants our souls to be kept, brothers and sisters. And there's only one way we're going to keep our soul. You see, they didn't repent. And the scripture tells us that whosoever keepeth his mouth and his tongue, that person keep their souls. See, you must keep your mouth and your tongue. And they didn't keep it, said, and they gnawed their tongues. And after they did that, scripture says in verse 11, and they blaspheme Yahweh. They blaspheme him because his abode in heaven, because of their pain and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds. They did not repent. You see, men today doesn't repent, saints. Men do not repent today. There's a willingness to repent. I don't see where I'm wrong. I'll repent just because it's a righteous thing to do. My righteousness is not my right because my right is as filthy minister rags of a woman. Has no importance. I want to be clothed with his righteousness. I want on the righteous garments of Yahweh. There's a way that seems righteous unto man. There's a ways thereof are death. And that's all your ways bring death. Why? Because your tongue speaks death. And you're going to know that. You take old people, I've seen old people near death, and you see how they react, their mouths and the contortion with their tongues and their mouths. Why? Because there's life and death. I want to tell all of you all something. And I believe what Scripture says, your way is not marked. And I don't care what you sow, you're going to reap it. You sow words against brothers and sisters, you hypocrites, you're going to reap it. You're a child of darkness, you're full of hell and sin, and I say it, and it's bar none. And I'm not afraid to speak that to any of you all in here today, and no man, you will pay. For whatsoever man sow, that shall the confirmation from above. You're going to reap it. You need to begin to break up that fallow ground of yours, that evil, wicked, sadistic heart. They didn't repent. Why? Because there was no voice in their mouths, no voice in their tongue, because they chewed them, that wicked thing that sets on fire the course of a nation. It does more destruction than anything. And Yahweh, the first thing was their tongue. And that's what is going to destroy this nation. It's not the tongue of America being destroyed. She had a voice throughout the world. She had a voice that was recorded in every nation. Even the smallest of the pagan nations. And now her voice means nothing. You can sit here like fools. Empty-minded all we want to and think it's so. But her tongue is gone. She has no power. When she was Iraq, there was a time she could have had every nation behind her. Now she can't get no one behind her. And the wives that she think loves her, because she played the role of a whore, she slept with everyone, now they're turning against her. And that's the truth. That is the truth. Now they're against her. And now what are her laws based upon? Well, they're going to be based upon fear. Because this power of hell knows that his kingdom is coming down. So the law is not based upon fear. They're doing everything to entrap the hearts of man. Because they're seeing what things are coming upon America. And the hearts are failing them because of fear. They don't know where to turn. They can't turn to Yahweh. Where are they turning to? They can't turn to the light. They can't turn to truth. So they're turning onto things that are pagan and satanic. And things that are ritualistic. Has nothing to do with the power of Yahweh. To deliver a man's soul. Nothing whatsoever. So her tongue is... because of her pain today. She says her economic pains, her pains of economics, her pains and her religious pains. She's got to try to appease everyone. The faggots, the bulldaggers, the perverts, the racist white, the racist blacks. She's got to try to appease everyone. And her tongue has no value now. She speaks and the nation says, nah. No power. So she's gnawed on her tongue because she says the birth pains and there are pains in this nation today. The economy is going to crumble down to hell, whether you believe that or not. And your dollars will mean nothing. He's an unjust creator. If that little man over there in the boonies of China, that little man over there in Azerbaijan, that woman there in Moscow, in Russia, that little one, that poor one in the Philippines, that one in the nation of Africa, lives off 30, 50 cents a day, and this rich, cowardly, wicked nation is not thankful. They're fat youngins. They're fat with consumer, with lust. You fools. You're going to gnaw on your tongue, for the pain shall come. You better get some light. And there's only one way you're going to get light. The world cannot give light. He has chosen only one way to bring light. And he's going to manifest it in this hour. They gnawed on their tongue. They did not repent. And they blasphemed the Father. Amen. Today they blaspheme the name. They think it's evil. Well, I don't think that's of God. I don't believe he wants me to do that. He wants you to crucify your flesh, first of all. And your affections. And your lust, too. That's what he wants. I want to say to you all, you can't love me when you don't even love yourself. And you will know you love yourself because you will love your brothers and your sisters and those that are near you. It's one thing about love you can sense. Love has a tremendous power, tremendous anointing.
I said to Deacon Benny yesterday, I think Brother Jermaine and I went out. I said, Brother Jermaine, today was my anniversary, and I had totally forgotten about it. Now, is that an expression of love because I say it's our anniversary? We have a dinner, our little private thing? No, I don't need that. And I don't want that. I don't desire that. There's only one anniversary I'm looking for and one hope. And I should see him. All these other things, they mean nothing. There's only one day. There's only one day. And I want to see him. Oh, I want to see him. Look upon his face. There to sing forever of his saving grace. On the streets of glory, let me lift my voice. My cares are all past. I'm home at last. Ever to rejoice. Nothing else means anything. All of it has no strategic value in this walk. And so the things that we think are very strategic in our walk with him in our life, they have no value at all. Many times they separate us from him. Many times they cause our hearts to be divided with him and something else. And all men are going to love him the same. You're not going to put anything before him. You're not going to put wife, husband, sons, daughters, children, nothing. You're going to love him with all your heart, soul, mind, and all your strength. You're going to give him everything that he commands and everything that he desires. And he desires all. Why? Because he gave all. And he put all in you to bring you forth with life. He put his breath in you. He gave all. And so you're going to give all as well. You're not going any other way. It's going to be that or nothing at all. Now, the reason this profound truth is hidden now, and the knowledge of his revelation is hidden, Saul says in 2 Corinthians, I want to read this quickly. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3. He says, but if this message or this truth that we speak unto you be hid. When something is hid, it doesn't reveal light. When you hide something, you hide it whereby no man can find it. Is that not so? You put something back if you got $20 or $30 and you want to hide that, you put it in a spot that you know no one will find it. Have you ever done that and you can't find it? I've done that before. I've hid something and I could not even retrieve it. He says, so if this truth or this message is hid, it is hid from them that are lost. They don't even know me. They don't even know the Father. They have no understanding of the power of the Son. Why? Now this is profound in verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Now this is an unbelieving generation. And that's why darkness is full in this generation. They don't believe what Yahweh says. They think that he's going to make a stipulation for them. Or he's going to alter his word for you. You are deceived. He means what he says. He's not going to alter anything at all. And because the kingdom is full of darkness, then Satan is blinding the mind of those because they don't believe what Yahweh says. They don't believe his laws. They don't believe what he commands us to do. And so he blinds their mind. He takes them into deeper darkness whereby there is no sense of feel. I don't think I ever want to lose that. I don't ever want to lose the sense of feel or touch or. I don't want to lose those things. So he moves them into a realm whereby they have no sense of caring, love, not sensitive to nothing but them. And they're not even sensitive to them. They're not even sensitive to them. It's only their lust and the power of hell that drives them because they're full of darkness. He said, now, if this truth is here because you don't believe it, and you're always chosen by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believes. And so this truth is hidden from them. It's because the God, and they walk under the government of their God. He has blinded their minds of them which believe not, lest the light of this magnificent truth, what truth? A Messiah, whom is the image of Yahweh, should shine unto them. Now, that's the power of light. For he declared that I am the light. He said, I'm the light of the world. He is the light. And beside him there is no other light.
What is that light? It illuminates the power and the image of Yahweh. It gives us the hope that Yahweh is real. I don't want to serve, quote, some God, unquote, that I don't even know if he's real or unreal. Yet Yahweh has made known to us that in this brilliant power of light, that he is real. Why? Because the light shone forth on the Father and made known who the Father was. I don't want to serve some beastly thing that has been made by the hands of man. I don't want to serve some God that we can create and make. And this nation has made many. Her liberties, free of speech and all of that. In the kingdom, he's going to rule with a rod of iron. He's going to rule with his scepter and a rod of iron. You're going to walk right. And if he's in the kingdom and you are in the kingdom, he's going to rule. If you're not walking in the kingdom, then you're being led by a dark spirit. That's what you're being led by. And so if you're led that way, you will do everything and anything that is contrary to what Yahweh commands us to do, saints. We got to get our hearts sincerely. We got to get a sincere purpose in our hearts to please him. We walked in hypocrisy with much speak like the Yodim. We've done that. We've talked Bible. We've talked scholarly. We've talked religiously. We've talked God. We've talked Yahweh. We've talked everything. But we haven't lived a nickel's worth of rat's bum. We've got a good talk. But the talk doesn't bring forth any power at all. It's a life. It's what we live. It's what we do after we finish talking. It's how we present ourselves after we finish talking. It doesn't mean nothing. Shaitan talked. He talked to Messiah. Bow down. Cast yourself down. I don't know what he will do. He was giving Malachim charge over him to bear you up. And he said, any time you dash your foot against a stone. He knew that. But the power of it was the light and the image of Yahweh. And that's what we need to see, brothers and sisters. We need to begin to see that profound image. Begin to have great reverence for him and fear. And what he has done. And he ordained all things. He did. He made good only. He made life only. He made life and death. He created good and evil. Because he knew that was an evil people. He showed with Cain. They may have gone the same way of Cain. They ran after the heir of Balaam. They love money, what money can do. They want things. And they're taken by the gainsaying of Korah. Well, you don't know what you're doing, Moshe. You just don't know what you're doing. Fools you are. You wouldn't be the one either, anyway. Because you don't even know any kind of rulership or what leadership is. You will never be one. And that's the truth. First Yohanan, 1 John. Listen to this. Chapter 2, verse 10. What a profound statement here. First Yohanan, 1 John, chapter 2, verse 10. He said, he that loveth his brother, he abide in light. Well, what is the light? The commandment of Yahweh. To love your neighbor, your brother, as yourself. He said, he that abide or loveth his brother, or love his brother, has a passionate love for his brother, he abide or he lives in light. And there is not occasion of stumbling in him. When a man truly loves his brother, he doesn't stumble. And we stumble, saints. We fall short of his honor. It is the truth, whether we concur or not. He said, but I want to tell you something. He that hateth his brother is in darkness. His mind is void of light. He's walking in darkness, and he walketh in darkness, and he knoweth not where he goes. So the man has that corrupt spirit in him. He despises his brother. He despises his sister. She despises her sister. Then you don't even know where you're going. You're just walking like a beast. You take the cows out here. Now, when they get blinded with fear, they will run over the fence. They don't care what it is. They will go through it. You're not going to maintain them. They will jump the fence. And the only reason they don't jump is because, as Brother James said to me one day, we were pursuing that bull. He said, leave him alone because once he get out in an open space, he won't jump nothing. Just leave him alone. He'll stay within the parameter. But if you pursue him, he's going to jump. And that's the way we are. We think we have an open mind. We think we have an open attitude. We can do what we want to. Our minds are open to everything. No, I shut my mind from many things. I don't want certain things in my mind. I don't want to hear certain things. I don't want to clutter my spirit or corrupt my mind with wicked things. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to talk about it. No, I won't do that. But he that hate his brother is in darkness. And he walk in darkness and he knoweth not whither he go. Because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. Now that's what it does. And that's what darkness does. It blinds your eyes. It blinds you. You can't see. Blind guides leading the blind and they both fall in the ditch. And what they do because they're blind, they look for someone as blind as them. Now they will not look for someone with light. You want someone as blind as you and that you can take someone into hell with you. That's just like someone, I give you a metaphor, a scenario. If someone is afraid to do something, they say, if you go with me, I'll do it. Come with me. You just go with me, I'll do it then. You ever done that? Sure you have. You go with me. I don't mind then. But if you come on, get beside me. You go with me, I'll do it. Or come on, you all go with me. Then I'll go. Because you're afraid, you're intimidated to do it. You're fearful. You don't know what's going to be revealed once you go into that thing, or what's the thing that's exposed. You don't know. So you also want to go with you. You get afraid at night to walk through the path. You say, come and go with me. And all of a sudden, you're close to someone there. You get chummy tight. Because your own sins, your own corruption, you're afraid of the reward of your own sin. That's all it is. And so that's what they do. They find someone to walk with me. Let me tell you about this. And they both become blind. And they both fall into the same cauldron of sin and corruption. And you can see it. Truth, Father. So you can see their sin and their corruption. And that's what the enemy does. And that's what, when one truly hates the brotherhood, when they hate the work of faith, what Yahweh gives us is a work of faith. It's not a work of man's ability. It isn't, brothers and sisters. That's why Yahweh will do many things with Israel. He said to Gideon, he said, those are not black and dog. He said, I want you to take, I know how many I need to take care of business. And only 300 men. Because they were not going to attribute that to our might and our power. That's why he firmly and sternly rebuked David. For he numbered his soldiers, his horsemen. He saw what he had. What did he have? What, 1 million, 3, something like that? He sternly rebuked him because David would have said, look at what my hands have done. And Yahweh said, that's not what I want. I want you to say, look what you have done and what I have done. I don't want you to say that, David. So don't number the men. Don't number the soldiers. I don't care what you have. You trust me, we'll get the job done. He said, Joshua, you march around Jericho. Don't worry about it. And the 7 days, 7 times. And then, that's all we're going to do, blow the shofar. That's not going to take anything down. But what is impossible with man is possible with Yahweh. He said, you just do that because I want you to know when this fall, you just begin to shout and say, my, what a mighty thing you've done. And that's why he does that. So you're going to attribute all things to him. He wants to be honest. He wants to be reverenced. He wants to be acknowledged. He wants to be acknowledged in your life and your everyday activities and everything you do. He wants to be the pinnacle of your thought. He wants to be the husband man. What woman that has a husband man, she doesn't think about him? What woman that's going to be espoused to a husband man that he's not on her mind all the time? Or what man that has a wife that her thought is not, she's not on his mind? At the first stage of your honeymoon, that's all you thought about, your husband, your wife, they were on your mind. That because sin has enamored our hearts and tainted us, they're not even on our thoughts or our mind. Hallelujah. That's the way we think today. So corrupt. Don't even see your own corruption. In other words, he's going to reveal it. He's going to have to bring forth light in the midst of us. You show what we're made of, what we consist of. Oh, I can preach on the name, but you need more than that. See, in the name you find this. In the name you find this. In the name you, it shows you what's in you. You find all that in the name. It's just not a verbal expression of the name. It's living and obeying and doing, adhering, submitting. That's what the name consists of. Many wonderful things the name does. And so in order for us to understand who He is, we have to know the sin of our own hearts. We have to. Scripture says in Yehuda, Jude. I want to read something here because it's vitally important in the first chapter. Jude chapter 1. There's only one chapter in Jude. Jude 1. I want to read two verses here, three verses. It says in verse 11. Verse 10. I want to read four verses. It says, now this was concerning the apostate teaching. Now what is apostate? Anything is apostate that draw a man away from walking in the truth and the faithfulness of Yahweh. If I come to Brother David Lee and began to speak things to draw him away from loving Deacon Bennett, then that's apostate. That's what apostate mind or spirit is. It is to draw away the heart or the spirit of man from the laws of Yahweh. Now that's what apostate is, brothers. And that's why Satan, he has his corridors to bring us unto an apostate mind whereby Yahweh is out of your thought. Gossiping and busybody and talking and backbiting. Yahweh is not in your thought, because if He were, then you will repent of those sins. You might as well say hallelujah with me. I know what I'm preaching.